So let's read this text in English. We're in Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to also include verse 1 here. And then we'll get over to verse 18. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Verse 18. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. And you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So I'd like us to think today for a few moments here this morning about this phrase, he will save his people from their sins. I think you've all heard of Fanny Crosby, one of the most famous, prolific songwriters that wrote hundreds and hundreds of hymns and songs. She was blind, but yet she could clearly see Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. One of the songs she wrote says, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth, glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. I think somebody has said that more has been written about the birth of Jesus than about any other part of his life, including his death. Of course, his death is more precious to us because that was why he came. We just read in the text, you will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And so first of all, we see the purpose of his birth, why he was born. He was born to save us, not only his people, his chosen people Israel, but save us. The story begins in verse 1, the book. Many of you hold the book of books in your hand this morning, the Bible. This is the book to read if you want to know about how you can be saved. The book of the genealogy. The genealogy is simply, it's an explanation of where Jesus came from as a man-child, as a human being. The beginning of the fulfillment of the promise of God that was made back in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, when God judged Adam and Eve, when God judged the serpent, he made a promise. Although it was spoken to the serpent, it was spoken to us. It was spoken to Adam and Eve. And God told the serpent that from Eve will come the one that will crush your head. In other words, your power. And so the birth of Jesus several thousand years ago in Bethlehem was the fulfillment of the word of God, the promise of God made many, many times in the Old Testament. And the purpose of his being born was not to live as an ordinary man. Some of you may have seen a postcard or an article that calls Jesus no ordinary man, and it describes the life of Jesus. Now, Jesus was not simply born to live like a regular human being like we are. Jesus was born with the objective to go to Calvary and to die for us and then to rise again and in this way demonstrate that he is God. And so the purpose of his birth, number one, from all of Scripture when we summarize it, was that Jesus came to die. And in his death, we get our salvation. I'd like us to remember this morning that Scripture does not anywhere, any place teach us to celebrate Christ's birth, although we do. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating the day that Jesus was born, although we don't know when he was born. He could have been born in the springtime or in the fall for all we know. This is traditions of men. We don't know if he was born that night or whether he was born at noontime that day. We simply know that he was born. He was born in Bethlehem according to prophecy. He was born according to prophecy of a virgin, and we've spoke about the significance of that. Because if Jesus had been born of human seed, he would have been human just like all of us, sinful and incapable of offering himself as a sacrifice for us. But these sacrifices and these promises and these prophecies are a result of what God has said. And so Scripture does not tell us to celebrate his birth, but instead every time when we come to the Lord's Supper, what does Paul write in Corinthians? Or what did Jesus write in the Gospels when he presented the bread and the wine to his disciples that night before he died? He says, do this until I come again. And so the purpose, number one, of the birth of Jesus Christ was to fulfill his mission. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, verse 2, begins this genealogy from Abraham, the man that God called to be the father of the nation of Israel, to be our spiritual father, to be the one from whom, from his loins, eventually would come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, the nation. Verse 3, from the tribe of Judah, of the 12 sons of Jacob, Judah was chosen by God himself to be the one from whom the Messiah would come. Verse 6, from the house and from the family of David. We know specifically from Scripture the purpose and how God saved through thousands of lives and through thousands of years the seed and that line from whom the Messiah would come. Despite the fact that man tried, even coming up as you begin to read chapter 2 of Matthew, even Herod that would try, Satan would try through Herod to destroy the seed that had come and was born. And God miraculously preserved every family through each generation so that Jesus would in fact be born. And so Matthew takes us back through the book, through the many generations. And he shows us that the line that Jesus came from is the legal line from which Jesus Christ had the legal authority as the son of David, as the one that came from through the house of David to have the right to sit on the throne. And although Jesus never sat on the throne, there is coming a day when he comes back to earth to judge and to rule, when he will sit on the throne of David in glory. As you read the genealogy of Jesus in Luke, Luke shows us the royal line, the blood line, through which Jesus Christ has the right and the authority to sit on the house, on the throne of David. And verses 6 to 11 and 12 to 17, we have a long list of all of the names of all of the family that came before Jesus Christ. And so number one, we have the promise and the purpose of the birth of Jesus. Number two, we have the fulfillment of the birth of Jesus. In verse 18, now this is how the birth of Jesus occurred. We have, as I just mentioned in Russian, we have historical writings that tell us about the historical man Jesus. But Scripture tells us that he was not only man, but he was, as we, 2 weeks ago, in John 1:1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, John says. The details of the birth of Jesus. Verse 18, we have the engagement of Joseph and Mary. And if it had been a normal engagement, we maybe would not celebrate Christ's birth today. But there in verse 18, we also have the miraculous conception of Jesus that qualified him to be the God made flesh. And in verse 19, I'd like us to focus on not only the fulfillment of the promise, but on the reaction of all the people who came in contact with the conception and the birth of Jesus Christ. And the first reaction is the reaction of Mary and Joseph, to whom the angel appeared. We read Mary's reaction in Luke. We read a little bit on last Sunday. But Mary tells the angel, how can this happen? I am a virgin. I have never been with a man. I am pure. I am clean. I have not sinned. How is this possible? Mary does not fully understand until the angel explains to her the prophecy from Isaiah that you are the one of whom the prophet spoke. A virgin will conceive. And humanly speaking, that is absolutely impossible. No one has ever been born of a virgin except for Jesus Christ, because the conception occurred through an act of the Holy Spirit. And that was Mary's reaction. Joseph's reaction was very similar. It says here, Joseph, her husband, was a just man. Just means righteous. Just means he was a believer. He was one of those that at the time when Jesus was born was awaiting the Messiah. And even though he was from the house of David, he himself did not fully understand these prophecies until they were explained to him by the angel. And notice that the angel appears to Mary separately, appears to Joseph separately, and tells them this great news and explains to them, and to both of them, he says, do not be afraid. You know, when things happen in our lives as a result of God in our life, there is no fear. When John sees Jesus on the island of Patmos, he's afraid, and the angel says, do not be afraid. Throughout Scripture, whenever angels appear, I think if an angel appeared right now, most of us would probably be frightened. Although angels don't appear in our days, we've got God's Word. But the angel always said, the angel of the Lord always said, do not be afraid. I bring you glad tidings of joy. And so we have the reaction of Mary. We have the reaction of Joseph. Verse 20 shows us something about the character of Joseph. Being a righteous man. Being a believer. He begins to think about these things. He begins to meditate upon these things. It had been over 400 years since an angel had appeared or anybody had heard a word from the Lord. Malachi was the last prophet in the Old Testament. 400 long years, and God had been quiet and not speaking to his people. They had rejected him. Jesus was not the first one that they had rejected. Remember, they rejected almost every single prophet that God sent to them. And then they rejected the Son when the Son came. But Joseph begins to meditate on these things, and the angel appears to him and encourages him, and he takes away the fear. And we didn't read chapter 2, but I think you know the story. We've read it many times. Those of you that grew up in the church, you know the story. Wise men come from the east. The wise men had a reaction to the birth of Jesus too. And we just sang a song, let's come and worship the Lord. The wise men came to worship. They came from the east someplace. Most of us, we think, and most writers think they came from Persia. They may have been Persian wise men, but they may have come from further east. Maybe from China or from India or somewhere further. They came from the east. They were wise. And they came looking for the king. They came wanting to worship him. They came desiring to bring their gifts to him. The reaction was one of coming to worship. And we read chapter 2, they came and they knelt. They bowed down before the baby Jesus. And then we have the reaction of people in chapter 2. We have the reaction of Herod that decides to destroy this child. He'd been king for 35 years and he can't bear the thought of maybe there's somebody that might succeed him. A little did he know that he too will need to bow down before this Jesus one day. We read in Ephesians, when Jesus comes, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ. The last thing I want us to consider this morning is the obedience of those who heard the message. We have the obedience of Mary. She says, let it be to me according to your word. She accepts it. Joseph obeys, and it says he did exactly as the angel told him to do. The wise men do exactly like the angel told them to do. They went home a different way. And so that leaves us. What will you do with what Jesus commands you to do today? Will you accept Him and you believe that this child was born? He was God. He grew up. He lived a holy, sinless life. He gave His life for you as a sacrifice on the cross. He rose again on the third day to demonstrate that He is God Almighty, and there's no power in the universe that can hold Him because He is the creator of the universe. And He's coming again. He's coming for His church. He's coming for us to take us to be with Him. And then He's going to come to earth with us so that we can reign over the earth for 1,000 years with Him in His glorious kingdom, after which He'll take us into the home that He's prepared for us in the presence of our Heavenly Father so we can spend eternity with Him. My prayer is that God will bless His word to you today. Amen.